This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall. Franklin, Kentucky, our closer, Jens Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Greg Peterson going to join the program this hour to get his Major League Baseball best bets. Chris Meany is going to join us in the next hour to talk all things Stanley Cup Final Game 4 tonight back in Las Vegas. And Brian Dunseth is going to join the program, played in the MLS for 9 years, going to break down the World Cup. We'll be on the pitch starting on Thursday. But all eyes were front and center on New York City. Boy, has this been a boon for the league to have the Knicks back in Madison Square Garden and the Spurs and a superstar in Victor Wembanyama. That's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Silver is a very happy man today. This series is going to get extended. You're going to get at least a game five back in San Antonio. That's what the Spurs at least made sure would be possible with a comeback after being down 7 at halftime, rallying in the second half and pulling out a 115-111 victory. So cash all those Spurs money line tickets if you had those, plus the points and those overs finally cash for the first time in this series. Jensen, before we break it down, the head coach, Mike Brown, he did take umbrage a little bit with the officiating, and there's some points that I think we could back Coach Brown up on. Let's hear from the head coach after this Game 3 loss.
First of all, I want to make sure I get something clear. Coach Mitch Johnson and the Spurs, they won the game tonight. They came and took the game. But I will say this. I never thought I'd be in the NBA Finals and see a team get 24 free throw attempts in the second half to another team's 8. And I don't think I complain much about officials or, you know, the fairness when it comes to the free throw attempts. San Antonio is a great team. They're a great team. Okay. It's going to lower our odds big time, if we play game 4 and in the second half they get 24 free throw attempts to our 8. And maybe we were fouling. But they fouled too.
Okay, he's going to get fined. He's gonna get fined. Can't criticize the officials. We know that. So he's gonna get something in the mailbox. I think that will be coming. I agree with him. I got to say that, Jensen, because you saw the shots. They were taking runs at Jalen Brunson. Well, there was one in the first quarter where Wemby absolutely bows Jalen Brunson, completely missed. And look, sometimes you miss calls. So I don't want to be too harsh in the officiating there, but I think Coach Brown laid it out perfectly. That is quite the disparaging numbers in the second half, when and where the game was decided in that second half. So, yeah, he's not saying that they didn't foul, but I think the point is he felt like it was happening on both sides and it wasn't being called on both sides.
10 more free throws for San Antonio in the game than the New York Knicks. But here's the discrepancy, and this is where Coach Brown is justified. 24 of the 32 attempts from the Spurs for the game came in the final stanza. And so that's where you can kind of say, all right, here. Okay. And hey, for what it's worth, Spurs went 25 of 32. There's your difference, right? 4-point win. Yep. Knicks went 18 for 22 at the charity stripe. All in all, Dave, I think we find a bounce back. And Knicks felt a little jittery at the beginning, even though they were up 7 at half. But credit where it's due, adjustments at halftime for Mitch Johnson, it finally happened. Yes, they ride, I think, a bit more of the transition game, points off turnovers. They won that battle 21-7. So self-inflicted wounds, too, by the Knicks allowed the Spurs to continue to hang around and find a way to come back. Got to look in your own backyard as well. They got to clean it up, making sure they take care of the ball.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And also, I think Mike Brown agrees with you. He's not saying that's what cost them the game. He's just perplexed at the way that game was called and would like to see it called both ways if it's going to be that physical. And it was physical, right? It was physical from the jump. We saw that. And I think we're like, hey, you gotta clean that stuff up, and it can't be one-sided. And I think that's the way the coach saw that, even though he did give credit to the Spurs for winning game three. How about the Hurricanes tonight? They need to deadlock the series. You would think at two games apiece, it's going to be a tough road to hoe in Las Vegas for game four tonight after a wild one Saturday night. And again, in that immortal Jack Buck call, I don't believe what I just saw. I mean, it was still one of those games for the ages that we saw. Are we going to have a series for the ages? To be determined, but it's got all the makings of one, Jensen. I think you're looking at the over tonight. There are some sixes out there. If you find five and a halves, that might be the way to go. I have not dived in there yet. I mean, eventually I do think we're going to get one of those tight nail biter games. I mean, they've all been nail biters in one goal affairs, but a low scoring nail biter. You don't see that possibly happening tonight, correct?
I can't, and I don't care who's in goal for Carolina. If it is Brandon Bussey and they do make the switch, or we go right back to Frederick Anderson, if anything, if it's Frederick Anderson, I feel more emboldened, because now you're going to be a little on skates, if you will, mentally. He's going to be still in the lion's den there. It's not like you're headed back home to Raleigh and you have the home faithful to back you up. So let's all remember, Carter Hart did give up those goals. It was a 4-0 lead. And oh, my God, all of a sudden. Yeah, just remember, I haven't seen, counselor, enough evidence presented to pass a verdict that an under is the correct judgment here. So the over 5.5, over 6 is still where I would go tonight.
I've got a comp for Frederick Anderson right now. Lucas Ersig, the closer for the Royals. Like, I'm giving you the ball. I need you to potentially get these final three outs. It's dicey, Jensen. Every time you go out there, it's dicey. I need you to be better. So, you know, I've got a lot of stakes in the Royals this year. Not looking so good. Looking better for Guns Up in Lubbock these days, because Brendan Sorsby is going to be able to play quarterback. It does appear a Texas judge said, not so fast. That injunction, you can go ahead and play. You're going to miss two games, or against really challenged schools, shall we say. I don't think they're going to have a lot of resistance for Texas Tech in games one and two. And then Sorsby will be eligible to play. Jensen, I feel like this one, like the levee has broken in college football, and I don't know that the genie ever goes back in the bottle now.
Catastrophic for the ruling. Dave, we're seeing athletic directors from Georgia and Nebraska immediately pivot and tell their head coaches in all sport, not just football, in all sports, do not schedule Texas Tech immediately moving forward. I appreciate when we get some coaches that don't want to be named give quotes. This one might be an all-timer after the ruling yesterday. Dave, this from an aghast, great vocabulary word, aghast Big 12 coach. Quote, if this is the precedent, then I owe it to my players to bring in people from Las Vegas to teach us how to gamble. Then collectively, we need to decide which games we will play hard in to cover the spread and which ones we won't. I'm supposed to do what's best for my players. And in that case, they would be able to make a lot of money betting on our games. That's the precedent for me. Oh, no notes. Fantastic. Because now, what the hell are we doing? Dave, what? I mean, I might as well make a comeback to college. I got a year eligibility left. I might as well go back and give up 8 runs in the first inning, cash the over. This is ridiculous that this even happened. Hey, you connect the dots. It's a panel of judges, or a judge that was from Lubbock. It's home cooking there, but it is catastrophic for the sport and for college athletics moving forward.
I don't know which Big 12 football coach said that. Could it be a Rich Rodriguez at Michigan? Could it be a Scott Frost? I know it's not Deion Sanders, because he'd put his name on it. I think Deion would openly say that and have no problem. He would not be anonymous with that quote. I think it's a fantastic quote. And Veasan, hey, we're happy to help if you guys. No, we're kidding. Don't do that, college football. We've already gone down the road in the path of no return at this point. We're still on Brissett watch out there, the other desert in Arizona. He did attend mandatory minicamps, still trying to get that new contract done. I did not think this would be the storyline around Arizona with their bevy of picks. And you're getting younger. You got a new head coach. But this does seem to be the talk right now in Arizona. And look, one thing does not look like the other. When you look at the NFC West, you have behemoths everywhere with San Francisco, the reigning defendings in Seattle, and the preseason favorite now in the Rams. And then there are the Cardinals. And Jensen, this is what we're talking about with the Cardinals.
this feels like the agent getting in his ear and say, you're under contract. No need to push this any further. All right, we played the hand. It didn't work. Let's go back in. You know, injuries happen all the time. Go out, ball out as much as you can. You're going to be in a different jersey sometime in this 2026 season.
Peyton Manning voice, Omaha, Omaha. We got eight that are going to Omaha, and you know what this is like. You were there last year. When these kids get there, Jensen, is it going to be that different environment? And which one of the eight do you think will be able to handle it the best?
Yeah, so this is a really intriguing stat here. Rob Anderson, great friend of the show. A couple of trends for you if you are looking to play some of these teams in the futures market. Dave, 40 of the last 44 Men's College World Series champions won their first game in Omaha. So you can wait till after Friday and Saturday to see who is in those 1-0 games respectively. Also emboldening for you, 33 of the last 35 Men's College World Series champions have won their second game in Omaha. So if you want to look and see who those 2-0 teams are, that's a great way to do it. And then finally, 29 of the last 35 Men's College World Series champions have started 2-0 in Omaha. So some trends there. Again, if you don't want to jump in pre-flop, totally understand it. I would say if you're looking for value, West Virginia at plus 750 just in their bracket. I still have a 60-1 on Ole Miss to win it all ticket available. And it is all SEC all the time on the right side of the bracket. We will break it down in earnest in Daily Diamond upcoming later in the show.
On the heels of the Shoresby news, I saw Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, was lobbying for eligibility. Maybe you should lobby to go back to Morgantown. I think they take you as a closer and get you back out there. You still have eligibility. Greg Peterson is eligible to talk baseball. He's going to do it next right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis. Always love catching up with our guy, Greg Peterson. He's the host of the VSiN Coast to Coast Hoops podcast and also the Baseball Betting Show daily. So wherever you get your podcast, check out those. Give him a follow on X at GUnit underscore 81. Joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. And Greg, I know that a lot of your social life has been really front and center here lately. With all the sporting events going on right now in Las Vegas, how about just, could you find somebody to maybe take to the ball game and go up there and see the Brewers and the A's while they're in town? Would you consider that? I think that'd be a fun first date.
Hey, I had a lot of work to do yesterday. We had to get out our first conference preview in college basketball, the America East Conference preview. It's now up. It's uploaded for everyone's listening consumption. Whether you're listening in June, July, I want to be able to keep those evergreen. And for two, I actually thought I might need to drive up to Las Vegas ballpark because I, with the way that the Brewers were running out of arms, I have a Brewers jersey. Goodness. I was saying, hey, Pat Murphy, I am 25 minutes away. If I really step on it 20 minutes, if you need someone for the 14th inning, the 15th inning to save the bullpen, I'm your man right here. I keep myself in shape, so I'm not too far away. Pat Murphy, unfortunately, did not give me that phone call last night, or for those of you listening out there on the East Coast, this morning.
Very good, buddy. I'm interested where you got the Binghamton Bearcats in that America East preview in college basketball. Just saw them in Morgantown.
We're so middle of the conference.
Yeah. Hey, baseball prowess. They're the king of the castle. So we'll see how they do on the hardwood here upcoming this year. Speaking of king of the castle, that's usually been where we are with Paul Skeens when he takes the mound for the Pittsburgh Pirates up against the defending champs. A pretty good series about to get underway at PNC Park. Handicap it for us tonight. Some value perhaps on Skeens and where the Pirates might be tonight.
Yeah. How often are you going to find Paul Skeens in a home game right around or pick him against a guy like an Eric Lauer? Like, I could understand if this was Yoshinobu Yamamoto, if this was like someone at peak health, like a Blake Snell or something like that, who's obviously on the injured list. We've got this game as a pickup with Eric Lauer on the mound, who's giving up 2.5 home runs per nine innings, over three walks per nine. And the Pirates, they lead the big leagues in run creation with 5.7 runs per game. Have the last few starts been a little bit up and down for Paul Skeens? Sure. But, I mean, this is as big of a pitching mismatch in a pick-em game as you're going to find. With the Dodgers, obviously great offense. They've been a top-five team in terms of run creation. They're averaging more than a full run per game away from home rather than at home. So a 7.5 is something that I can vouch for on the over. But at some point, you just need to look at the starting pitchers and be like, yeah, this is an absolute massive mismatch, even though Lauer has been better since joining the Dodgers than he was with the Blue Jays. Took a shot here on the Pirates on the money line. Just a offer that I can't refuse of Paul Skeens getting like a -105 against Eric Lauer at home.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go down with you on that one too, Greg, because if you go down with the ship on Paul Skeens, I'll take my chances there against Eric Lauer. I'm right there with you at that price point. You got to nibble there. How about the Mariners and the Orioles tonight in Charm City? And I keep waiting for the Orioles to kind of make a move in the AL East with the Yankees and Rays kind of, I don't want to say sputtering, but giving you opportunities for other teams to jump in. What about today? It might not be the day that they start to make that turnaround.
Yeah, I don't think so, because Logan Gilbert has been really good on the road. Logan Gilbert throughout his career has typically been a little bit of a better pitcher at home, and you'll find that with most of these Seattle Mariners, because for the Mariners, they've got one of the most pitcher-friendly environments in all of baseball. This year for Logan Gilbert away from home, less than 0.4 home runs allowed per nine innings, a sub-1 ERA at home. The ERA is above a 5 with 2.4 home runs away from, or 2.4 home runs per nine innings at home. So he has been a much better pitcher when he's been away from home. Bullpen, total mismatch here as well for the Mariners' top 8 team in terms of bullpen ERA. These guys like Edward Bizzardo, Jose Ferrer, Matt Brash are all giving you a sub-350 ERA. For the Orioles, this has been a bottom 8 team in terms of bullpen ERA. So have to have a lot of trepidation there. For the Orioles, it's a much better offense when they've been at home rather than away from home. And for Seattle, they've had some struggles when they've been at the plate this far this season. Having Cal Raleigh on the injury list has been hurting them quite a bit. And Trevor Rogers, I do believe he's better than that north of 6 ERA would indicate. So that total of 8.5 to 9, I like the under, but do think that the Mariners go out there, get the job done here, trusting Logan Gilbert at that -115 on the money line.
All right, another American League matchup here in my neck of the woods, Greg. The Guardians unable to get past the Yankees in the series opener yesterday. High-scoring affair between these two teams, considering it was Gavin Williams on the mound for Cleveland. They're not able to get it home. More of the same here for the Bronx Bombers. Do they go ahead and win the series tonight in maybe a lower-scoring affair?
Yep, and for the Yankees, they've got Gerrit Cole now on the bump, who in the three starts since he's returned, he's given up 1.5 home runs per nine innings, but it's a Guardians team that has continued to be a bottom nine team in terms of run creation, home runs on a per at-bat basis. For Cole, I think that he's going to pick up a little bit of steam with that swing and miss stuff as well. Main reason why he's currently stuck at 7 strikeouts per nine innings, he only had 2 strikeouts in that first start. Last two starts, he's been a little bit better, and for the Guardians, Slade Sassoni's been able to come along for the ride. He's got a 4.92 ERA, but a closer to 4.30 fielding independent. So the total I like to the under. For the Yankees going into yesterday, they were averaging less than 4 runs per game without Aaron Judge in the fold. The Yankees actually have the lower bullpen ERA, though, because for the Guardians, they're always famous for having a great bullpen, all these guys. But now with Eric Sobrowski on the injury list, that really hurts them. Hunter Gaddis, he's been getting going a little bit. He's been dealing with injury all the season long as well. But this is, again, one of those games where you got a big pitching mismatch with the starters, Slade Sassoni going up against Gerrit Cole. I think that Cole goes out there, gets the job done. And for the Yankees, unlike in past years without Aaron Judge, they now have a star that's still able to carry them. Ben Rice has put up great numbers this year. 400 on base, 16-plus home runs. Cody Bellinger is able to move the line. Paul Goldschmidt is partying like it's like 2018 at this point. So, like the Yankees on the money line and that total to the under.
Let's stay in New York because don't look now. All right, you can look. Metropolitan starting to play some better baseball, opening up a series against the Cardinals today. And the Cardinals have been surprising. I keep waiting for them to kind of slip up and go by the wayside, and they're not disappearing so far here in June. What happens in the first of three here at Citi Field today?
Perhaps that slippage is starting, though, for the Cardinals, because if you look since May 1st, they have been a bottom six offense in terms of run creation. And for Freddy Peralta, 9.3 strikeouts per nine innings is actually a career low for him. That's how good of a swing and miss pitcher he is. Posting up solid 3.63 ERA, and for Dustin May, his ERA is above a 4.50. He's been much better than this. 0.7 home runs, 2.6 walks per nine innings, but let's say it's evened up with these two pitchers. You've got a Mets bullpen that has actually been really good. These guys like Austin Warren, Oscar Brisbane, Brooks Raley, they're all giving you a sub-3 ERA. After a rough start to the season, Luke Weaver has come along for the ride. Really, the lone guy I don't trust for the Mets right now is Devin Williams. I think that he's just been shot ever since he gave up that home run to Pete Alonso in the playoffs a few seasons ago. But for the Cardinals, they've been below average, 16th in the league in terms of their bullpen ERA. Does feel like that offense is really starting to go downward. As we know, for the New York Mets, the offense just really hasn't been able to get going all season long. So I think that you've got some value here on that 8 to the under. But I think that the Mets, they also get the job done. Seeing that right around minus 130, took a shot on them on the money line.
All right, we got a high-scoring affair out there in Las Vegas. We usually get them when we go back to Coors Field, and I think we might be intrigued by the total here between the Cubs and the Rockies. Dare we say, Greg, we got a chance for an under in the Mile High City, or can we find more offense there from a beleaguered pitching staff on both sides?
I'm going to look at the under here, mainly because the Rockies aren't really putting up runs at home. Like with Coors Field, it's got the highest ballpark factor in terms of being about generate runs. That's aside from Las Vegas, because after last night, man, they really helped out those offenses yesterday. And I had to make a few adjustments with that total as well, because I thought, oh, Kyle Harrison, total of 11 plus, I'm going to take a shot on the under. And boy, Kyle Harrison did not last very long, but Colin Ray has been okay here. For the Cubs, I'm not going to say he's been great. He hasn't been awful, though. Right around about a 4.50 some odd ERA, giving up about 1.3 home runs per nine innings. But for the Rockies, they've only got one guy on the roster healthy right now, because Mickey Moniak is on the injury list. That's been able to give you over nine home runs. Hunter Goodman, he has been a good man for the team, but past that, the bottom of the lineup hasn't been great. And for the Cubs, I've noticed this. Like, they've got a lot of guys that get on base. They're still a top 10 team in terms of run creation. This team is brain dead with hitting with men in scoring position. Like, if you've watched this team last few weeks, it's like, what are these guys doing? Like, all you need to do is put the ball in play. Just get a sacrifice fly or something like that. They have no idea how to drive men in. So that total of 12, I just feel like it's a little bit too high, with the Rockies obviously struggling a little bit with the bullpen. But I'm going to take my chances here with the under, with the way the Cubs are hitting with men in scoring position.
I was reliably told that Craig Council was a big-time upgrade over my namesake there in Chicago. I don't know if that's the case. Reds-Padres tonight out there in San Diego. Greg, about 20 seconds to go here. What do we like? Can Cincinnati eke one out on the road?
I'm on to Cincinnati. I'm taking a shot here on the money line. I have a guy in Lucas Giolito who's getting 7 walks to 5.9 strikeouts per 9 innings. When you're giving up more walks and you're getting strikeouts, not going so well there. Reds are about minus 115, minus 120. Chase Burns has been rolling, so give me the Reds here on the money line.
He's going to be going for a run in Las Vegas. You should listen to his podcast, The Baseball Betting Show, right here on VSiN. Give him a follow, GU_81. Greg, appreciate the info as always. We're talking Freedom 250 UFC next right here on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Championship season is here. VSiN Pro can help you bet it smarter. For a limited time, lock in our early bird pricing on our football season special for just $175. So the sooner you sign up, the more value you're going to get. Full access to everything we do across every single sport throughout the Super Bowl, which of course is in next February. That means the continuing NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Final, World Cup beginning on Thursday, plus Major League Baseball all summer long. Going to get our daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. And on June 22nd, just a couple weeks, we're going to release our NFL betting guide to attack those futures, win totals, divisional races, and the full season ahead. So head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. Right now, that's VSIN.com/subscribe. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here with you. Going to break down a big card that's coming up every single day here on the show. We're going to break down one fight in particular. Of course, we're going to have Reed Kuhn on tomorrow. We're going to have Lou Finocchiaro, as we do each and every Friday, to break down this massive card. Jensen, that's where we're going to begin today's edition of the Daily Docket.
Your snapshot of odds, trends, and futures. This is the Daily Docket.
Please like and subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast. You can get my breakdown of the main, the co-main event of Ciryl Gane. And that was a play I gave out yesterday at minus $1.10, the Frenchman over Alex Pereira. I'm going to bet with my head, not my heart there. Now, this one, Sean O'Malley, the Sugar Show, is back in there against Ayman Zahabi. These are all on the main card here. This is Sunday night, by the way, for Freedom 250. It's going to be 100 degrees with the humidity. It's going to be in the 90s in D.C. You actually have to factor in the weather a little bit on Sunday here for Freedom 250. Now, I look at this fight and I go, how do I want to play this? I don't want to give out minus 410 here on this show or any show in the network, right? But should Sean O'Malley, the question is, be that big a favorite against Ayman Zahabi? And I got to be honest with you, Jensen, I think he is. I think he should be that big a favorite against Zahabi. Now, if you don't know who Zahabi is, he's a Canadian, and there would be nothing more than Canada that they would love for Ayman Zahabi to come to the White House in front of the President of the United States and have a Canadian beat the American right there at Freedom 250. It's not going to happen. And the reason why it's not going to happen is Ayman Zahabi, who is a very slick boxer, a very slick striker, a very slick fighter, is fighting maybe the slickest guy that the UFC has. How is he going to out-slick Slick? I don't think he can do it. So Sean O'Malley, I think this is a perfect showcase for Sean in a fight that I don't feel like he feels like he can be hurt. I think the guys that give Sean O'Malley problems are guys like Petr Yan, who's going to give everybody a problem, and a guy like certainly like Merab Dvalishvili, who's going to be taking you down and looking to, if not finish you, at least control you on the ground. I don't think he has those fears with a guy like Ayman Zahabi. To that point, Zahabi has been in the UFC since 2019. You know how many finishes he has? Two. That's it. Everything else has been decision, 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 decision. He's a decision fighter. That's perfect for a guy like Sean O'Malley. So I'm not going to, again, advocate to lay 410, but I will be using Sean O'Malley in parlay pieces. One other thing I want to point out, because totals are starting to populate now. They've been out there. They kind of come down, go back up on the market. I'm seeing here 2.5 for this 3-round fight. And if you don't want to lay the 410 on Sean O'Malley, I understand that. You could look to the over in this fight at minus $2 if you like the total here. I don't see any way that Zahabi is going to finish Sean O'Malley. So is the inverse true? Can Sean O'Malley finish Ayman Zahabi? And normally, if you give me a $4 favorite, you'd like to have that prospects. Yeah, because his timing is still elite. Maybe a counter-striker as good as Sean O'Malley is as a counter-striker, one of the best that we're going to have. Sure, your speed can sometimes be a real weapon in there, but I don't see a whole lot of finishing potential in this fight. I think it's O'Malley via points and or play the over at minus $2 here, 2.5. I think it's going to be a slick boxing match. It should be fun to watch while it stays standing, and it should stay standing for 15 minutes. Again, parlay piece for Sean O'Malley, play the over 2.5 at minus $2. I wouldn't play that separate. I'd look for a partner to get that down to around even money, but that's the way I'd attack the Sugar Show. Sorry, Canada, you're not going to have a victor here at the White House on Sunday night. I see one-way traffic for the Sugar Show, Sean O'Malley. So again, going to have right now Ciryl Gane's in pocket at minus $1.10. O'Malley's a parlay piece, and I'll be looking to play that over at minus $2. Jensen will continue the breakdowns as the week goes. It's a really interesting card, but there are some really big spreads that we're seeing for this Sunday night card, so we have to find different ways to attack it.
Would there be a possibility with the NBA Finals, and let's even take the Stanley Cup in Game 4 tonight, would you advocate for people, and I realize this is going to have to transpire over a handful of days, if you like anything tonight and parlay it with Sean O'Malley on Sunday, or even I know you want to go back to the Knicks, play the Knicks money line and the Sean O'Malley for a plus price.
Love that idea. That's absolutely a good way to do it. And again, a little bit more bold would be to take that over 2.5 at -$2 instead of the O'Malley at $4. But I just don't see a lot of danger right now on the O'Malley side. So again, not advocating to lay it straight. I think Jensen, you always come up with great ideas how to shorten those numbers and find a dance partner. I have no problem tying up my money for a couple days here and hopefully get the Knicks in pocket tomorrow night in a game 4. And then play the O'Malley side on Sunday night. I think that's a perfect way to play that. We'll break down the entire main card here as we go this week here on VSiN by the Books. But do we have a big one tonight? Obviously, game 4 in the Stanley Cup Final here back in Las Vegas. And again, the question is going to be who's going to be in the net here for Carolina. We know who's in the nets here for VGK, and all the questions about Frederik Andersen, we're not asking those of Carter Hart. And yet, Jensen, he's been kind of shaky in spots, 3 goals in 39 seconds in the third period on Saturday night. He's not getting the focus because they're up 2-1.
Yeah, and I can understand that that will be one of the storylines should Carolina get out to an early lead. It's like, oh, we spent all this time on how it should be Frederik Andersen, should it be Brandon Bussey, and then, oh, by the way, don't forget, this should have been a comfortable 4-0, maybe a 4-1 win for Vegas. No, sir. We had extra time to try and get this one across the line. Vegas wins, and all's well that ends well. Buddy, I'll go back, and for people just joining us, there is no evidence that's been presented to me on either side that tells me that this scoring is going to be abbreviated and or slow down tonight. I think the best play is an over 5.5. I'm comfortable still with an over 6. It just feels like we are destined for 7 goals, if not more. And I do think that Vegas keeps it tight. So there's another idea for your Sean O'Malley parlay piece, my friend. Take the 1.5 with Vegas. You know, if you're laying 265, might as well try and find a parlay piece with that. If that's the case, I think that's another great way to attack this game as well.
And another way that I was just thinking about, because again, when you love doing these cross-board parlays, and they've been very profitable, we talked about this earlier in the program here, Mitch Marner at -205. Again, normally we wouldn't advocate laying 205. Well, play that with Sean O'Malley on Sunday night, because I do think you have a double chance here that even if VGK loses with the kind of, I don't want to say insurmountable, because nothing is insurmountable if VGK doesn't hoist the cup. But if it goes 7, it's nondescript on the Carolina side. I do think you could have the losing team win the Conn Smythe. And it's that idea that with the NBA finals, because it's just the final and it's not the totality of the postseason, it's really hard to get that. You're just not probably going to see that where a losing member of the NBA finals can win that MVP. But it does happen more often in hockey. And we just saw it with Connor McDavid a couple of years ago. And he looked so distraught, by the way, when Connor McDavid won the Conn Smythe because his team didn't win the cup. It's almost like he didn't want it. I'm sure Mitch Marner wouldn't necessarily want it if they didn't win, say, in 7. But Jensen, this series goes 7. He's already got a hat trick in this series alone. Some helpers as well. I could see the case where VGK does not win the cup, and yet Mitch Marner still at 205 could get that ticket home. Do you see it that way, or do you think it'd have to come from the winning team?
Boy, good. Again, it would have to be how this transpires. 7 points already for Mitch Marner. So again, he's leading in that category. It feels like he's been inundated in every part of how Vegas has been able to win, even in comeback style. I mean, if he gets to a certain threshold of points, Dave, maybe that is okay. He is clearly the best player. And remember, Conn Smythe, that is the cumulative effect here of the entirety of the postseason. So what he's done here in the Stanley Cup Final thus far has added on to what has already been a really outstanding postseason period.
Yeah, and that's why, again, if you can parlay those maybe with an O'Malley, I would take that shot in the Mitch Marner side here, because I do think there's a good double chance there that he gets that done. As far as tonight goes, and I hear you on that total, there are some sixes out there. You probably want, if you're looking to the over, you can certainly search for 5.5s. They should be available depending on your book that are out there. You're seeing 6 on your screen right now if you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network. And again, Carolina is favored here at -$1.09. And I do believe, especially if they win tonight, Jensen, clearly they'd be favored back home in a game 5. And depending on how that result went, they could be favored the rest of the way, depending how long this series goes. And remember, on the series price, you get Carolina right now +$1.50. Interesting food for thought there. When we come back, let's break into the Daily Diamond, see if there's any teams that might upset the apple cart now that we know the Great Eight that are going to Omaha for the College World Series. That's next right here on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Good to have Chris Meany join us in the next hour to break down game four of the Stanley Cup Finals. And then we're going to have Brian Dunseth, who knows Team USA inside and out, to break down what we're going to see on the pitch for the Americans starting on Friday. Of course, the World Cup gets underway on Thursday. But right now, Jensen, you are there in Morgantown, and now West Virginia is moving on to Omaha for the College World Series. Let's begin right there in today's edition of the Daily Diamond. Then there were eight going to Omaha. Jensen, when you see the numbers associated with these teams that are remaining here, any big surprises to you? And we see that North Carolina right now is the short number with Georgia on the odds board.
So for people not familiar with how it works, double elimination format in Omaha, and the eight teams are separated into two four-team brackets. On Friday, we will get Troy and West Virginia in one matchup. Ole Miss and North Carolina will be the nightcap. Winners of those games will match up against each other in the 1-0 game, and the losers will be in an elimination game. Dave, the brackets go every other day, so Friday's teams will play then again on Sunday. Saturday's games, where it's Oklahoma, Alabama, Texas, and Georgia, they will play on Saturday and then again on Monday. As it pertains to the futures, and if you want to try and kind of handicap it a little bit, it is basically the SEC on the right side of the, or the bottom part of the bracket. That's Oklahoma, Alabama, Texas, and Georgia. I agree that North Carolina and Georgia are tied as the shortest shots. Texas just a tick behind both of them at 3-1. I think you're going to get a bludgeoning between the SEC teams against each other. If you're looking for some value on that side, I think Oklahoma at 16-1. I'm not saying they're going to get out of the bracket, Dave, but certainly an opportunity to monetize. If they win game one, then you have some great plus money price opportunities to be able to have whatever team comes back there between Texas and Georgia. So I do like where Oklahoma sits from a pitching perspective. I mentioned to you for West Virginia, I said it a couple weeks ago, if you were able to find them in double digits and at a pretty healthy one, the bracket just sets up, when we got into the super regional round, even better. Troy is nothing to kind of sniff at, and I think that they are going to be, with Skylar Meade leading the way, they got a lot of swag, Dave. There's a lot of attitude with that team. They really embody their head coach, but it is an uphill battle against what feels like a team of destiny in West Virginia. The Mountaineers right now in game one to get underway on Friday afternoon, you got to lay 210 on the money line. Come back on Troy is plus $1.60. So a lot of that predicated on how well West Virginia is playing right now. I do have a 60-1 future alive on Ole Miss, and I will kind of wait to see. I would imagine for North Carolina, it's Jason DeCaro who ends up going for them in game one. We'll see what Mike Bianco, head coach of Ole Miss, does for their pitching probables. The uniqueness, Dave, is you're not playing every day. So if you have elite starting pitching, that is a great team to back, because you're going to get the off days with the elimination games and how those first handful of games will present itself. So if you're not in on the futures market yet, Oklahoma at 16-1 would be interesting. And I would fully advocate West Virginia, still awesome value there at plus 750 as well.
I know my mom was excited to see you in Morgantown last week. And again, moving on here to take that atmosphere on the road. They're going to travel well, right? That the Mounties will be showing up in full force in Omaha.
I would say the Golden Blue are one of the favorites at Rocco's for the shot challenge. Now, a lot of that too, you got to be around. You got to win, Dave. Yeah. You got to win to stay there for the full 2 weeks. So I think Georgia, probably the primary competition, at least on paper. Ole Miss will be pretty good. But man, no LSU, no Arkansas this year. I would say West Virginia, a very nice consolation prize for business there at Rocco's across from the stadium.
almost to heaven indeed. Let's get to the major league slate here. And the Yankees, it feels like all these games are, of course, they're important. We talk about it all the time that the games in April mean the same as they do in September. And now we're in June and you don't have Aaron Judge for a while. And you get one on the road yesterday in extra innings here of the Pinstripers. And now you get Gerrit Cole back in the bump here today. So early returns for Garrett and his return a little bit bumpy here, Jensen. What do you expect to make out of the right-hander for today and going forward?
I don't have a real feel on where this Guardians-Yankees game is. If I were leaning one way or another, just kind of where the numbers sit at the moment, I would say that maybe an over on the total of eight. It was a pretty big shootout yesterday, 7-5, maybe a little bit more run production than anticipated with that pitching matchup, especially with Gavin Williams on the mound with the Guardians. I did get to a couple of places. Let's start with the best team in baseball. The Atlanta Braves on the road in the South side against the Chicago White Sox. That is Grant Holmes against Eichert, who's going to get the ball for the Chicago White Sox. Road favorites really have been kind of par for the course here for Atlanta. They're 19-8 this year as a road favorite. Would definitely be backing them. That's an official play for me, -$1.40. Atlanta on the road series opener. By the way, my broadcast partner from the regional round, Tom Hart, going to be on the call for that one for Braves Vision with great friend of the program, CJ Nitkowski. So that will be an official play. Braves -$1.40 at Chicago playing the White Sox there at Wrigley Field. I would also, I'm going to be oppo here on Greg Peterson, looking at home underdogs. And Baltimore has been one of the best teams, if not the best. I think they are the best percentage wise here for the American League side. 10-5, Dave, Baltimore is when they are a home underdog. And that'll be the case tonight as it will be Logan Gilbert against Trevor Rogers. So I will jump on. I got +$1.12 at Novig here this morning. Orioles money line against the Mariners. I do like the situational spot for Trevor Rogers to bounce back. I think the Orioles are going to find a way. As a high scoring affair yesterday. Don't know if that'll be the case again today. But I do like the O's with that plus money price as a home dog here tonight at Camden Yards.
Allow me to redirect, counselor. What, as a pitcher, are you looking for to see out of Gerrit Cole and, dare I say, Paul Skenes, who's on the bump today against the Dodgers? And this has not been the same Paul Skenes that we're accustomed to. Is there anything? Obviously, Gerrit Cole is returning from injury. What are you seeing or what are you looking for from those two normally guys that we just trust in the marketplace?
Cole's fine. Again, it's more about where the Yankees are. I mean, it's 81% of bets, 81% of money just from the number side of it. And it's a really short price. I was kind of shocked, Dave. $1.34 for Gerrit Cole and the Yankees on the road. It almost feels like you're stealing to take some money there. So I think that would probably be the side for me. Mentioned it before. I think it's a bounce back spot here for Paul Skenes and the public running to bet the Dodgers here at this point. And I'm kind of shaking my head. It's Eric Lauer against the Pittsburgh Pirates. That's I would not want to be backing at basically a coin flip. Give me the better pitcher. Give me the home team. Feels like the Pirates would be the side there. Speaking of backing the home team, when we look at the Marlins and the Diamondbacks, Marlins as a home favorite this year, an intriguing club, 14-6, maybe not what you would have expected, Dave, considering on the surface, you know, you look, oh, it's the Marlins. They've been really good. They're actually the second best team. And I would say they're the best team because they've had more instances. 20 times they've been a home dog, Dave, 14 out of 20 that they have won. That's good for 70% win percentage. But they will be a home. I'm sorry. They're a home favorite. Let me retract that.
Yep.
20 times they've been a home favorite. They are 14-6 as a home favorite, which they will be tonight. That's a great spot to back. 70% win percentage. I would say that against Zach Gallen, kind of ripe for the taking here. And even though the Diamondbacks as a road dog, that has been a spot to attack them. They are 8-15. 8-15 Arizona is as a road dog. So this sets up really well for a Marlins money line play. I got them at -$1.19, seeing some prices out there, -$1.25 at Circa. So three money line plays so far tonight. Orioles +$1.12, Marlins -$1.19, Braves -$1.40.
You might recall that the Marlins were my big long shot for most wins in the month of May that did not get home, and now they're off to a great start in June. I really do like this baseball team. That's the bottom line here with the Fighting Fish. They do have a lot of fight in them. I did play long shots for the Metropolitans and Royals. They're off to good starts for the month of June, hanging in the fight. Way too early to start to project as to whether or not that we could monetize those things down the road. But Freddy Peralta back in the bump today against Dustin May of the Cardinals, and Mets are about $1.31 betting favorites there. And the Royals with Stephen Kolek back in the bump here has been pretty good, actually, against Nathan Eovaldi. Plus $1 on the Royals side here. You got to lay $1.22 with the Rangers. Very quickly, is Kansas City getting off the deck in real time right before our eyes?
I would think so, man. You and I have looked at them plenty. It's time. Like, let's go. Although the Rangers might be the better side tonight, it's finally starting to turn the corner for Fountains Up, for sure.
I'm telling you, Versick can't get the job done. You keep that right arm limber. I'm going to make a call and see if we can get you a tryout out there in Kansas City and get those fountains turned back on. Okay, we love chaos. We need it in our betting lives. Our chaos candidates are straight ahead on VSiN by the books.